The Health Fix Podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and I have Beth Theodore on with me today. She's been on the show before talking about acupuncture, and today we're going to talk a little bit more, kind of putting the word out about how acupuncture can help you, but also in this day and age, acupressure, since we are still in the midst right now of the whole COVID pandemic, and us acupuncturists are wanting to help folks feel better, wanting to give the gift of acupuncture, but we can't. So we are giving you the gift of your own health by teaching you how to take care of yourself. So Beth, welcome to The Health Fix.
Thank you, Janine. It's fun to be back again.
So I've been watching you on Instagram, and you have had some great info coming out, and you even did a session for your folks on acupressure. So we were chatting before we jumped on the line, and sounds like it went really well. And we were talking just how much it's just a great gift for folks right now to be able to learn a little bit about how they can take care of themselves.
Yes. So what I've been noticing with a lot of people is this sense of helplessness. We are told constantly that we need to be in fear or that we need to retreat, whatever it is. So many people are feeling like they don't know what to do to maintain their health. So I've been wanting to share information on ways to stay healthy, one of them being self-acupressure, along with diet and proper exercise and meditation. Having a well-rounded approach to our own healthcare is a way for us to stay healthy and for our community to stay healthy as well.
I agree. And you know, we were originally going to talk today about what acupuncture is all about. And I think we will get into that because acupressure and acupuncture are very similar in terms of they're going to create a response within the body. So you've been in practice longer than me. So I'm going to defer to you on this one in terms of starting out with how did you come to want to be an acupuncturist? Like, what led you to being an acupuncturist? I want to know your story.
Okay. So, truly my entire life, I always wanted to go into healthcare. Even as a kid, I was always looking in different ways, whether it was working with food or working with different nutritionals, herbs, crystals, any of that. And this was back in late 80s, early 90s. Nobody had really talked about it before. There were some health stores popping up, but it really wasn't that common. And so I started researching it after high school and then into college. I was still looking for different types of healing that I felt connected to. As again, there wasn't a lot of natural health care out there, but somebody I know had mentioned acupuncture. So I started researching it, and I went to my first acupuncture appointment, which was incredible. I just remember afterwards feeling like I was floating home. You know, I mean, I was walking, but it was just a very powerful experience. I was relaxed. My pain had been alleviated. And so again, I started doing a little more research into it. And once I decided to take the plunge and start school, that's when the world opened up to me with Chinese medicine. You know, the idea that needles or the idea that acupuncture is just about putting in needles to take care of pain is such a small part of it. As you know, Chinese medicine is such a wide world of healing people on a variety of different levels for a variety of different things. So the more you look into it, the more you see, yes, you can resolve pain, but you can also resolve any emotional connection to pain. You can also resolve imbalances, or we can work on immunity. We can work on somebody who's sick with some type of infection or digestive issue, regulating menstruation. I mean, it can pretty much treat anything because the focus is that we're treating the body. We're focusing on healing the person, and then the person heals themselves.
Yes. I love that description because a lot of people think we're just working on pain. And I think that there's so much more to it than that. And I want to try to help folks understand that it's not just say I have a pain in the neck and I'm putting some needles in the neck. There are more channels in that neck that relate to other things in the body. So for example, when someone is feeling stressed, they're feeling overwhelmed, such as the situation that we have now, a lot of times they might have like a tight chest, so you might have some chest pain. But with acupuncture, and I'm going to tilt my camera down a little bit here, but with acupuncture, your whole chest has different channels. Mm-hmm. And as Beth knows, we have kidney, we have stomach. And then if we start going into rib cage and areas of that department, we have the pericardium, we have, you know, lung channels if we're going down the arm, we've got all kinds of heart, et cetera. So when we're accessing certain areas, whether it be a touch or whether it be a needles, what we're doing is we're actually working on these same channels. So a lot of people are going to be, all right, well, that sounds kind of weird. What does a needle or a finger actually do to the body? So I'm going to have you take over at this point.
Okay.
Help with explaining like what kind of response within the body does just pressing in at a certain area do, or what kind of response does a needle going to a certain area do?
Yeah. So I want to start with the idea of the meridians, because I think this is important to clear this up for a lot of people. Now you mentioned stress earlier. I had a patient earlier this week and stress was causing migraines. And so I explained to her that we want to work on the gallbladder and the liver meridian. And she immediately became panicked that she had problems with her liver or her gallbladder. And so I think it's important to understand that in Chinese medicine, each organ is associated with an energy. So if you have issues with your liver meridian, it may be that you have a headache, or it could be the liver itself. But in most cases, we're not actually telling you that there's something wrong with this specific organ. So now what happens is each organ, again, has their meridian and it travels throughout the body. And so for instance, you were talking about tight chest. We have these different meridians that help to open this area up. So when you're pressing on the points, for instance, you are stimulating a part of the body that releases chemicals or relaxes muscles, let's say. So if there's tightness in here, just by stimulating those acupressure points, it's alerting the body to bring awareness to the area and do what needs to be done. So in Japanese style acupuncture, we use kidney 27 a lot. And kidney 27 is great to help relieve any adrenal dysfunction. So in Chinese medicine might be a little different than allopathic medicine, but when we're talking about the adrenals and the kidneys, we're talking about a deep exhaustion in the body, often coming from deep stress. So people who are constantly stressed, whether you're commuting all the time, or now that we're in this health crisis, so many people are in the state of complete stress. Their fight or flight is on. It's just their body is tightening up. Part of the fight or flight is your muscles are tightening up, and that exactly. Yep.
The ball.
Yeah. So that's compressing not only the chest, but then the lungs. And we want to strengthen our lungs. And by doing so, we want this area open. But if you're stressed and you're caved in, then not only are you creating tension in the chest and tension in the back, but you're also preventing the lungs from expanding and healing and doing their job. So that's why you want to work on the points here. So again, each time you stimulate those points, it wakes the body up to start healing what's going on. And as acupuncturists, we know that there are certain points associated with certain dysfunctions or associated with certain ways to heal our bodies. And so the needles will stimulate the point and it's very effective and you have longer term results. But with acupressure, you're also able to stimulate the points. And this is a way that you can heal yourself. So working with somebody one-on-one, they'll be able to tell you which points will be most appropriate for you to get the results that you need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also when you're working on someone one-on-one, you can give them feedback in terms of, well, is this one more sore or is this one more sore? Or
yes.
Is this? And by pressing on it yourself, you're getting a little bit of mind body connection, which I love too. Mm-hmm. Because what I've seen with working with acupressure from some of my patients now, where I never did this telemedicine wise prior to that, we're actually getting a lot of folks that are like, I never knew that this area was sore, or I never knew that this area that is sore on me and I rub often is related to this particular organ. And so there's a lot of these aha moments that sometimes with acupuncture don't always happen because we're putting needles in, we're chatting about other things, and we're in our heads not relaying what exactly we're doing. And yeah. So for those of you out there who maybe haven't had acupuncture or acupressure before, I highly recommend asking your practitioner, like, oh, well, why did you choose this point? Or why did you choose that point? Because most of us like to talk about it. If your person doesn't, then maybe you want to find someone else. Because I think, honestly, having the education when you're going in and getting a session, I think it's huge because now you know the difference.
Yes, it's so interesting that you say that because I have found that as well, that doing this telemedicine style of treatment, it's really forcing people to understand their bodies better because you and I have been doing this now for so long that when we're palpating and we're looking for a point, we know what we're looking for. But now this is encouraging people to find their own points. So some people, the points might be here, let's say on the chest, and somebody else, it might be just a little further out. It all depends on what's tender for them. So when we studied, we learned there are certain points. It's 3 inches down your arm and 1 inch over. But in reality, the points are so specific to the person. We're all individuals. So all of our points might be in a very similar area. But as the patient's feeling around, they're actually going to find their points. And they become more in touch with their body. So like you said, when they're pressing their arm and realize that that area has been hurting them for years and they didn't know, now they'll understand why and they can understand more how to help themselves. And ultimately it empowers them.
I love it. It's the best. Like let's go with the shoulder for a second here. Cause mm-hmm. I think this is a good one. Oh, look, I have fuzzies on me. always an added bonus here. So if we're looking at the shoulder and we're just kind of cupping the shoulder and we're going, all right, well, we know that large intestine, as an acupuncturist, we know that large intestine 15 is kind of riding down as our deltoid muscle inserts here. But for a lot of people, that insertion might not be as sore. It might be just a little bit behind, or it mm-hmm. might just be a little bit in front. So those of you who are out there and you're like, acupressure is interesting, but how would I even know where to find the points? Well, I tend to go off of, and I want to hear your opinion about that. I tend to go off of what's sore, but also sometimes if we've got the skin showing, what's sticky? Like, where do you find like a little divot or a hole? That mm-hmm. is also another area. Or if you take your finger and you can, you know, slow your breathing down enough and kind of hone in on feelings in the finger, you might even feel like your finger gets sucked towards that spot. So those would be ways that I would explain to people to find points. What would you say?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. I've never heard that last one, but I like it. I mean, that's almost like intuitive healing. Mm-hmm. You're actually aware of the energy, and they have done studies on the points and have shown that there is more energy in that area. So, you know, on a Western level, they actually can determine that specific points do carry a certain energy pattern. Like you, I'm the same in terms of finding the point. So for instance, with my arm here, you know, they say for Sanjiao 5, for instance, this is a very important point for a variety of things, so we can discuss later. But I often will say, you know, you take your 3 fingers, what we learned in school, right? 3 fingers are about 2 inches and it's at the bottom. But if you take your finger where the wrist is and you just slip it down, it just sort of falls right into it. It's just like a little hole. And now for me, it's here. Somebody else, it might be a little bit lower, or it might be a little bit more on top or underneath. So you're looking for where your finger naturally feels like it should go. Now, again, we've been doing this for a long time. So for us, it's second nature. But as soon as you really get to learn about your body and understand it, that's when you start to feel the points and you become more aware. And ultimately, isn't that what we want? People to be aware of their bodies and know how to heal it and know when you're putting good food in, how that feels versus bad food, mm-hmm. you know, whatever that means. It's like, it's the more in touch we are with our bodies, the more we know what feels right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, those of you who are listening to this and thinking to yourself, well, I'm not going to be able to do this. It just sounds too hard. Really, it's a manner of practicing. Do you think that the first day I went to acupuncture school and they were like, okay, find the points, I knew every single one of them? Heck no. And even to this day, I have to look up points because there's ones that I forget. And mm-hmm. a lot of times if a patient's showing me somewhere where they keep saying it hurts here, I got to look up and go, okay, what if it's not a common point area? I got to go, okay, what is in that area? What channels there? What, you know, I'm constant. It's a work in progress, right? So for those of you who are wanting to really get into acupressure, it's really just slowing yourself down a little bit, getting rid of the distractions and just feeling your body a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of us don't give ourselves much self-massage. It seems almost kind of strange that we don't, but we don't. And so being able to find these sticky spots and these little divots and just kind of exploring your body a little bit more is kind of fun, because chances are if you're kind of poking around on your hands, you find a divot like this guy, probably one of the most marketed acupressure yes. points ever, large intestine 4. A lot of folks know this guy. A lot of folks know pericardium 6, which is the C-band's point for when you have nausea. So you know some of these. It's just a matter of like, go to them and see if you can find them. Now, tell me this, Beth. So this is something that I always kind of wonder and curious in terms of other practices. When you're explaining to folks like, okay, we're going to find the certain points on the channel, how do you explain channels? Do you explain them like they're blood vessels almost, or do you explain them more like highways, or what's your explanation?
Yeah. So honestly, it depends on the person, I have to say, because some people are very tuned into energy. Some people are more tuned into the anatomy of the body. So I think what's important to understand about channels is they were originally discovered before we understood the body at all, before x-ray machines or surgery or any of that kind of stuff. So basically, our body is an energy circuit, but our entire world's an energy circuit. I mean, if you look at physics, everything is moving at all times. It's the same thing happening in our bodies. So I do believe that it's important to understand that when we're affecting the areas, while we are affecting the blood, we're affecting the immunity. Potentially we're affecting different neurotransmitters, we're affecting endorphins, all of that. We're really working on the energy of the body. And I think that's also important to know so people don't think they're going to hurt themselves.
Right.
You know, energy moves and it's always moving. And so maybe you press a point that I wouldn't necessarily use, and that's okay. You're not going to have long-term damage. Now, the one thing that I do like about one-on-one sessions or even group sessions with people is I can guide them into using points that are appropriate for their condition as well as them as an individual. So for someone, I may use a completely different set of points than I would use for somebody else who's showing the same symptoms, mm-hmm. right? So if somebody has heat, I may use points that are cooling, and somebody has cold, I might use points that are warming, even though they have the same, let's say they both have stomach pain, but I might use completely different. So I think it's good to work with somebody who understands them, so you're not just aimlessly pressing around. Like, you know, again, like you said, this point, the most common marketed point. I remember learning that point even in elementary school. You know, people have been talking about that for years, and people think it works for everything. I had another patient this week who said she'd heard that point is good for her migraines. And I said, they could be, but your migraines, you'll want to use this point instead, you know, depending on where the head pain is. So it's important to work with the points that are specific to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I highly recommend, you know, seeing a practitioner who is doing some acupressure online. If you're interested right now, Beth is like the go-to in this department, and she's anywhere and everywhere now that we're on. You don't have to be in California just to see her. That is one of the intricate things about Chinese medicine, is that no two shoulder pains are often going to present alike. And when Beth was talking about hot or cold, you know, in terms of stomach pain, we can have hot or cold shoulder pain, meaning you put heat on it, feels great. You put heat on it, it doesn't feel so great. That's like a very common way to look at it. But also in terms of like, is it swollen and red and hot to the touch? You probably don't want to put heat on it. Or is it cold to the touch? Is it frozen shoulder? Is it arthritis? And arthritis can be hot or cold too, but in this case, does it just feel like a cold shoulder? Do the muscles feel cold? That's when you're saying it's a cold condition. Now, we super geek out on like cold B and all that stuff, this term for arthritis, but we'll spare you guys in that department. But I think we should go through some of the channels, like, I mean, maybe all 14 of them, if you want to, just, you know, to give folks a sense of where they are and to give them a sense of going, okay, if something hurts back to large intestine channel, which we already know is this guy here, all the way up, going up, going up, going up in a general sense. If something's hurting in your large intestine channel, you might want to actually think about your large intestine and go, is my gut okay? Do I have gut issues? Does it mean that anything is, you know, like Beth mentioned before with the heart channels and things of that nature, doesn't mean that you're gonna, you know, drop dead of a heart attack because something's going on in your heart channel. It's just thinking of like, what could I be also processing in this area? A lot of times our common areas of pain have to do with digestive channels because large intestine here, small intestine back here. What does that say about our diet? So, Beth, in terms of, let's go with your favorite channel. You said San Jiao. I don't know. Maybe that one's a good one. What's your favorite acupuncture channel and why?
So we briefly went over this last time. This is going to be a hard one to show on the body right now, but my favorite channel that I work with is the liver. So I'm based out of the South Bay part of Los Angeles. And Los Angeles, from what I've seen, is one of the most stressful cities. It just is. There's a lot of traffic. There's a lot of people. People are always trying to make it big, and many of them are separated from their families. I see a lot of stress here. And stress will affect the liver meridian. So when that happens, you're going to get things like feelings of stress. You're going to get a lot of muscle tension. You may get headaches. You may get eye strain. All of these things are related to the liver meridian. You may get menstrual imbalances. All of this can be addressed by working on the liver. So when you're looking at specific points on that meridian, there are some that will actually calm the liver. There are some that are actually anti-inflammatory. And the anti-inflammatory points, like there's a point called liver 5. I'm sorry, I can't show you, being that I don't have my leg handy.
I have no shame. Here's
Yes.
Here's my ankle. Oh, wait, here, ankle. So those of you who are watching, you can see there's my ankle right there. And we're going to come up. So how do you describe to people how to find it if we're going to have them do a little, you know, location of this guy?
Yeah. So what I do with the liver meridian is it's just on the other side of that bone. So we know it as the tibia bone, but it's actually, for people that don't know all the anatomical terms, it's the largest bone on the top of the leg, on the top of the shin. And so you just want to go just so we would know is medial. You just want to go into the inside of that bone. And what I have people do a lot of times is start at the ankle, like with what Janine's doing, and start pressing up. And once you found a point that's tender, especially where your thumb is or where your thumb was, around that area, you're going to get, and it's different for everybody, but that point is known as liver 5. And that point is great for menstrual pain, endometriosis. It's even good for gout. It's good for any type of inflammation in the body. It will help to release it. But what I have people do is massaging all the way up the liver meridian. And it can be very calming. It can be very soothing. Yep. You're working with blood flow at the very top of where the knee is. It's not the top of the liver meridian, but it's the top of this lower leg. Liver 8, which is right where it ends, is great. Yeah, without cutting off your circulation. Pressing on liver 8 is also good for things like endometriosis and any type of blood dysfunction. It's great to stimulate blood flow. So if you have any blood deficiency, that can be really helpful for that. It's good for dizziness, dry skin. It's just an all-around great point. And again, I just love this meridian. I work on it with a good portion of my patients because most people have underlying stress.
Yeah. Yep. Raise your hand right now if you have stress. I'm thinking everyone probably right now is like, yes, yes.
What's your favorite meridian?
You know, I like the liver too, but I'm a sucker for the stomach channel. I deal with a lot of digestive stuff in my practice, and I love just, so Stomach Channel, for those of you folks who are new to acupuncture, it is quite a channel. It's a long one. It goes from your head to your toes. And in particular, I like the points on the leg, because we've got one known as Stomach 36. I can show leg off again here just so folks who are able to watch this can see below the knee on the outside of the tibia of that big bone. I did not shave for you all, so there you go. You get the real deal right here. Coronavirus non-shaving. right here, gosh, this point is a big area. You can kind of find all kinds of goobies, as I call them, in here. And just like Beth was talking about, the stomach channel is one that you want to rub downwards. You want to kind of take this stuff and go downwards with it and give yourself a nice, like, massage to your tibia. So here's my foot. You can see my foot. And I'm just kind of coming down like this. And you're just to the outside of your big bone there, and you're just kind of coming down. And I like to go down and just find the goobers and see where they're at. This point actually ends here on the toes, but it's a great one. In my book, I like to use the leg, but I also like to use the abdomen. And in particular, some of the spots in the abdomen are amazing for helping with digestive upset, things of that nature. And just to the side of your belly button, by about, you know, 2 fingers or so, there's a great spot that can help with digestion. So I'm a big fan of the stomach channel, and sometimes I'll use stomach and liver because they're on either side of the leg, like to balance things out there. But the cool part about it is most people who are stressed out have digestive issues. And so I'm sure that Beth will see some of this as well. So oftentimes I'll ask folks like, okay, you're stressed out. What's happening in your gut? Do you have acid reflux? Do you have any stomach pain? Do you have constipation, which is another biggie? And then at that point, I kind of go, okay, I'm going to be using both of these channels most likely on this person. And I'm willing to bet that you probably will use both of them on your folks very commonly as well.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about the stomach meridian is it's amazing for energy as well as immunity. So the point that you press stomach 36, which is the point right under the knee, as acupuncturists, we're all being encouraged now to stimulate that point daily. I mean, it's, I think the literal translation of the point is 3 miles. So I don't know if you remember learning that if you're running a marathon, you need to go 3 more miles, you press that point. You know, the idea is it just gives you more energy and it builds your immune system. So before I went to telemedicine during this whole quarantine, I was using that point on everybody, every single patient who came in, regardless, just to stimulate their immunities. And now, same thing during telehealth, it's the same thing. I'm using that point and having people stimulate it daily. It's such a good way to work on our immune system. And one thing I wanted to suggest with points on our limbs is that they say in Chinese medicine, the points that are furthest away from the body are actually the most effective. So often what I'll do is start with points, maybe on the feet, the ankles, hands, arms, and then work on the torso, because while we're massaging, let's say the area around our lung area to open it up, there's other points that we can press that energetically open it up. So then when we start to work on it, it's so much more pliable. I don't know if you've found that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in the Chinese universe, guys, those of you who are listening to this, and haven't heard about different points Chinese-wise, we have things that are called Ji cleft points. We have points that are called Ting Wells or Jing Well, depending on who taught you how to say it. My Chinese is terrible, so I apologize ahead of time for me, my butchering of points. But we have points that are at the end of the channels that are specifically known to help clear the heat in the channel and reduce inflammation, like Beth was talking about. And in particular, on our toes, unfortunately, they're next to our nails, which can be a little bit precarious. But those points can sometimes be really amazing. So say you have something that's happened in I'm trying to pull in something in my head and I came, okay, shin splints. That's a good one for the stomach channel, because say you ran a lot and you're starting to feel some pain on the side of your shin bone. And maybe some of you are experiencing this now. Maybe you've never ran much before, your gym's closed and you're going out and you're running. The you can really work on getting some inflammation out by working around your toe in particular. Now that sounds kind of strange, but that's the idea, working on the toes to help to clear things from the stomach channel. Now, also we have other points that are higher up, and I'm going to bring my foot back out. I don't know if I want to show you guys my toes. I don't know if I have nail polish on them or not. That's what I'm skirting around the toe component. But we're good. Okay. It's funny. I don't even remember if I have toenail polish on. So you can see my toes here, and in the channels, what we do is we'll actually, the end of the channels, like for example, if I go just down the feet, we've got urinary bladder 67 here. A lot of people have heard of this one for turning breech babies, but it's really great if you've got some pain in your calf or in your glute. And so what I'm showing here is we've got nail points that are coming down, and we've got ones in terms of the stomach channel on the side of the toe. It's crazy, but these are fun things. We also have points that are at your ankle that I don't know if you can see there. That also, like this one, stomach 41, great point for if you have acid reflux. So we have these distal points like Beth was talking about, and they have names. That's why it's kind of saying the Jing Wells and the G-class and the Ying Springs, and they have all kinds of fun names and Luo points. But the cool part about these points is that they open up and have specific interactions on your channels, but they can also help connect you to other channels. So now not only can we open up that particular channel, we can affect another channel. So Beth, what's your favorite connection between channels, between say a Luo and say maybe a Ying Spring or something of that nature? You have a combo or a Ji Clef Luo or?
You know, it's funny because I don't use those a lot.
Honestly. Oh.
I don't. I have used Luo or Luau, however, you know, again, my Chinese isn't that good either, to work on a lot of emotional.
Mm-hmm.
What I actually like maybe a kind of a loose term, what I often will work on is not only the connection of the two meridians, but the connection of the physical and the emotional part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I mentioned before, like with liver, we're working on stress. Now, I wanted to bring it back to the lung meridian, kind of to go full circle here, but lungs are an interesting organ, interesting meridian because of the connection right now with COVID. So it's targeting our lungs. It's causing weakness in the lungs. The lungs are in the chest area, which we talked about when we're stressed, we're closing up. Lungs also have a lot to do with grief, have a lot to do with sadness. So what's happening is people are definitely experiencing this, whether they're feeling grief over losing a job, over losing a family member or a friend who's gone through this. So what's happening is this entire global situation is affecting us on the physical as well as on the emotional level. So when I've been working with a lot of people, you know, we talked about the lung meridian actually starts up here just under the shoulder. But there are some good points. For instance, I'm not sure if you can see my arm, but there's a point just under here where we have lung three. And lung three, stimulating this also helps us to release grief. Lung seven here, this is a very common point that we use to release any type of cold or flu virus that's in our body, but it also works on sadness and grief. It's also connected to what we call the Ren meridian, which we can discuss in a future time. But besides the normal 12 meridians, we have the extraordinary meridians. And so, but with these points, for instance, lung seven and lung three, we can help to open the lungs, but we can also help to release some of the sadness and grief that we're feeling. So even if you're just holding your arm, you know, I see people do this a lot when they're talking about something and they're sad about, sometimes they're just massaging their arm without even realizing. It's like intuitively or instinctually, their body just knows to massage this area. So I think it's important that when we're working on these meridians, and we're working on the health of the body, that we're addressing it from all these various levels, whether it's the digestion as well as pain, or if it's the emotions that are related to the organs, like sadness related to the lungs. The heart could be excess joy, which doesn't sound like a bad thing unless it's, you know, unless it's almost in a manic way. Yeah. So I think each organ is going to affect something different. Now, the spleen is connected to worry, and a lot of people are feeling worried right now. And so they're worried, and then their stomachs aren't feeling good. The flavor of the spleen is sweet, so they're worried, and they're eating cake because they're worried, and then it's affecting their digestion. And then you have this full circle of imbalance. That's how we want to work, is helping to heal it on all of those levels. So then they just feel better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you said it way better than me trying to go through my different channel crisscross business.
No, I think that's, it's great too.
That knows better than me.
No, not at all. No, I think there's so much validity to that. And that's the thing, you know, to go back to what you were saying with Chinese medicine and what we were talking about is there's so many different layers that we can work on. Mm-hmm. So because I work on this emotional aspect of it, I'm looking at the meridians differently than you might be. And when you're working either with pain or digestive dysfunction or some, you know, blending the two together, you're going to see a lot of overlap on the meridians. And that's the great thing about this is depending on who you're working with, it's going to determine how they're viewing the body and how they're viewing the meridians and how they want to put it together.
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing to say, because my training is a little bit different than Beth's training, folks. My background is traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, like straight traditional Chinese. I took some extra classes for Japanese style. Love that. There's also five element acupuncture as well. There's different flavors, if you will, of acupuncture, and it's very important to ask your practitioner where they trained, what their, you know, background is, and if they've, you know, taken extra training. Sometimes their background might be traditional Chinese medicine, but they took some Japanese courses and now they kind of gravitate that way. Me, I have my sports medicine acupuncture certificate, so I gravitate a lot towards figuring out pain and then looking at what's going on with your organs and gut and whatnot underneath that. So I'm trying to do my little, those of you who are watching this via video, I'm doing my little crisscross stuff because I'm always trying to figure out different channels that connect in and sinews and things of that nature. But Beth's side is so cool in terms of the emotional side of things. I think it's special. It's a special technique. And I think right now it's huge.
Well, and I think it depends on what you're looking for. You know, being that you work a lot with sports medicine, somebody is going to come to you for a different reason than they may come to me. Mm-hmm. You know? So I'm seeing a lot of emotions, how it's affecting the body. Those are the people who are coming to me. They need to talk things out, or they need to work on why these two are connected. Someone that's coming to see you, they're having pain from potentially their lifestyle. You know, maybe somebody's seeing you who did start running and their body doesn't know how to integrate it yet. Maybe they're not doing it correctly, and you can work on balance the meridian. So when you had asked me which favorite crossover, what's your favorite?
My favorite, actually going back to liver, I like liver and gallbladder. Those are my two favorites. And we were just talking about liver five. I demonstrated my hairy leg to you guys all. Welcome. But yeah, liver 5 and gallbladder 37 are my two favorites that I like to mix and match and work together. And I also like kidney UB. So kidney and urinary bladder channel, I like using those two together. Which, what I'm talking about, for those of you folks who are like, what language are you saying right now? The two channels, liver and gallbladder, are paired channels. They're like best friends. They're besties. They work together. They feed off of each other. And tendons and ligaments, in terms of injuries that I'll often see, I like to use liver, gallbladder. If I'm doing a little emotional stuff, I might end in something in what's known as the pericardium channel. And so I'll play in the world of pericardium, liver, gallbladder, and kind of work to balance emotions that way, because the Chinese do believe that the liver has to do with emotions. And then in terms of my second favorite, the urinary bladder and kidney, that's because we have a lot of back pain. And the urinary bladder channel, for those of you folks who are learning, we literally go from here all the way around the back, all the way down literally to your pinky toe that I showed you earlier. It's a long, long channel. And then your kidney channel is actually coming up the front. They kind of balance each other that way, front to back. And so I like to use those two channels together. And then I throw in the lung with them if I'm trying to do some emotional stuff. But there, that's my favorite connections there. UB64 kidney 4 is my, if for those of you who maybe are acupuncturists and want to know the points that I like to throw together, those two, and then GB37, liver 5, and oftentimes I'll do either a pericardium 3 or a pericardium 6 or a pericardium even sometimes a 4, depends on what I'm playing with.
But, right. Whereas I may look at it differently. It's interesting you say that, because in Japanese medicine, pericardium 4 is a great point to help with anxiety. And whereas you might pair it with some of the other meridians. So that's, to me, one of the most fascinating things about Chinese medicine is you can look at it from so many different perspectives and work at it from those different levels. And I just don't know any other medicine that offers something so detailed and extensive.
No, that's the beauty of it. We have so many tools. And there's so many ways to like come at it. Like if one combo doesn't work, then you switch to something else, which is always really cool. And, you know, granted, Beth's been doing this 20 years. I've only been in the game 13. But the more years you have under your belt, the more you learn, like, this little trick does this little trick does that. And it's cool to have, you know, like I'm saying these channels, you're like, oh my gosh, I would do that with this. And then I think we should probably do a podcast of us talking about our different treatment protocols and go, which one would go with this? But I think for the general population, they might have their head spinning on that. We'll save that for some acupuncturists down the line for some fun crossover between Japanese and Chinese medicine. It's so great. So as we're rolling up on the end of our podcast here, let's give folks something that they can take away with. Maybe like your favorite, like 3 to 4 acupressure points that they could use today just to help their mood, just help them feel a little lighter, a little less stressed. And then from there, if they want to dive into something deeper, they call you. And I'm sure, folks, that you will find out where you can reach Beth online at beththeodore.com, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then I will put notes in my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com for more, so you can find Beth, because she's got group sessions going on for acupressure, and it's cool stuff. You got to check her out. So, Beth, show us a couple points so that folks have something to take away with for today.
Sure. So I want to talk about some points on how to stay peaceful through this and grounded. And build our immunity a little bit as well. So I'm going to take my glasses off, because this point right here is just a great one. Mm. You know, we call it yin tong. It's right in between the eyebrows. Some people know it as the third eye. So calming. You could use this point with lavender. You could put geranium. Any essential oils that are calming, you can go ahead and massage right into here. And it's so soothing. It's centering. It's grounding. It's easy to use and easy to find.
I love it.
Since we're touching our faces, I will preface this by saying to wash your hands first. Okay. Afterwards, what I've been working a lot with people, I don't know if you have as well, is this area. You know, we have the thymus gland right under our sternum bone. And it's great for the immune system. It's great to help us feel peaceful. So you can massage it or even tap it.
I like that.
Yeah. And it almost feels like all this tension we're carrying in our chest, it just opens it up. So by tapping it, it feels very relaxing, and we're boosting our immune system.
Mm. Yeah. All day.
And the final one I would like to work on is something that you and I both share. I saw in one of your videos. It's the kidney points, just on the other side.
Oh, I love that.
And it's right in between the ribs. And massaging these, again, it's calming. Helps relieve stress. It opens the lungs. Mm-hmm. What we need to do now is open the lungs. We want to bring energy to the lungs. We want to keep our bodies healthy. And this is such a great way to do it. And it's just soothing. And when you're massaging these areas, it doesn't matter whether you go clockwise or counterclockwise. I mean, you know, you can leave that part to us, but when you do it yourself, just don't press too hard. What you want to do is massage it enough that it may even start to feel a little irritating. That's when the immune system starts working. So as soon as you feel a little bit of irritation, but you don't want any pain. That's the most important part. Yeah. Yeah. Do not puncture your lungs with your fingers.
It should get like a little red. You'll usually see like a little redness.
Yep. And when it's red, that's the immunity working.
Because you got your histamine going. Yep. Love it. Love it. Oh my gosh. Beth, thank you so much for playing with me online. This is fun.
We have to do another one.
I think we have to come up with something more beyond this one. So folks, stay tuned. We're gonna have some series putting the vibe out about acupuncture. But seriously, if you are looking for acupressure and you want someone to guide you through it, which I highly recommend, go over to BethTheodore.com, right? BethTheodoreAcupuncture.com or just BethTheodore.com?
BethTheodore.com.
Got it right the first time. All right, folks. Thanks for watching. You've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krauss with Beth Theodore. And we'll be back soon. Take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Hey, Health Junkies. Dr. Janine Krauss here. I hope you enjoyed my podcast. Guess what? I have a Facebook group. It's called Anti-Aging Health Tips with Dr. Janine Krauss. So if you want a little bit more of The Health Fix podcast, head over to my Facebook group and let's chat. And I'm also offering a health transformation and restoration program. It's a one-on-one with me, and it's for folks who are sick and tired of going to doc after doc and health coach after health coach and not seeing the results that they want and deserve. In my program, I'm working with folks with transformation. So this isn't just a light program. This is a big deal. I'm going to change how you think about your health and your life kind of program. And I'm super excited to offer it to folks. And if you are at all interested, we should talk. I'm offering 45 minutes free with me chatting to see if and how I can help you. And you can get all the details over at my website, drjkraussnd.com. All right. You've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krauss. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.